The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting there where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord. When Mary Magdalene made her way to the tomb that day, it was still dark. To her, I'm sure the whole world was dark on every level. Her teacher and her mentor, the very one who had cured her of 7 demons just a short time before, the one who had made her life livable, had been killed, executed, hung on a cross like a common criminal. Her sadness and pain was almost unbearable. Still, she had to do the right thing. She had to go to the tomb. When she got there, things seemed to go from bad to worse even. As she made her way to that awful place, the place that housed the lifeless, battered body of the one who had made such a difference in her life, she saw that the stone had been moved. Those bandits, those horrible men, she thought, they've stolen him. What more? What more could they do? Was it not enough that they had had him killed? Was it not enough to remove from them the threat to their safe positions of power? He was dead, for God's sake. Could they not leave well enough alone? The men, the disciples, were all holed up for fear that they would be next. Could they all not just let this go in peace? Curses ran through her mind as she ran to tell the men, that just as they thought it had gotten as bad as it possibly could, that it had grown even darker. Those nasty men had stolen his body so that they could not even take care of him in proper Jewish fashion. She finally made it to the place where the disciples were hiding. She had just barely gotten out the words between halting breaths before Peter and the beloved disciple took off running. They had no idea what they were running for. They had no idea where they were running to. All they knew was that Mary said that they had taken his body and they had to find it. It was the least they could do. All they wanted to do was something. All this sitting around in darkness and fear, all this waiting for nothing, they needed to do something. But there was really nothing to do. He was dead, and dead as forever. So at this moment in time, the only thing they could do to pass these dreadful moments was to search until they found what remained of his tortured body. First, they went to the tomb to be certain that Mary had not just overlooked him. You know how women are. She was distraught. He didn't look himself anyway, after all that beating, after being crucified. Maybe he was just covered up and she didn't see. The beloved disciple arrived on the scene first, and then Peter came up breathlessly behind. The beloved had stayed outside, frightened by what he might see, not sure he wanted to come face to face with the body of Jesus, or even to confirm that that body had in fact been stolen. Peter, still impetuous, still moving boldly, rushes right in. And what he discovers is not the scene of a robbery, not the remains of body snatchers or thieves. It looks organized. The pieces of the burial cloth are not scattered around. They're neatly arranged. This is not the work of one who has hurriedly removed a body trying to destroy evidence. This is not the chaotic scene of a crime. The beloved disciple makes his way in slowly, haltingly. He saw and believed. Believed Mary, it seems, that Jesus' body was in fact gone. Something in the scene that those two saw made them decide not to go any further, not to search high and low. Something in that open tomb took all their energy away. The permanence, the absolute futility in it all, zapped the energy that had made them run all the way to that tomb. And we hear that they returned to their homes. Nothing more. They gave up and went home. Mary just couldn't leave yet. She was just too sad, still unwilling to let go. She took one more look into that tomb. And the events that follow are amazing. Astounding. So much so that they might easily be dismissed as the ramblings of a woman consumed with grief. When Mary looks in one last time, just before giving up for good like the disciples have already done, she sees two angels sitting in the tomb. They, knowing the cosmic reality of what has happened, ask her, "Why are you crying?" She tells them what she believes has happened, and then sensing that someone is nearby, she turns around. The gardener is here to tend things, she thinks. Maybe he can tell me what's happened. She asks, and she hears her name, Mary. The good shepherd calls his sheep by name, and the sheep recognize his voice. Mary, that lost sheep, the desolate, devastated, grief-weary sheep, hears the voice of the shepherd, and her weeping turns to joy. And Jesus sends her out to tell the rest. Suddenly, the darkness is gone. The despair is lifted. A life that was hopeless has hope. Christ is risen. Everything that seemed so pointless, so meaningless, so dead end is now filled with light and hope and joy. They didn't win. Those who had put him away, who had rid the world of him, did not win. Not even death could keep him in. He is risen, and everything is new. It's an amazing story. It's full of humanity, and it's full of divinity. Those who had followed Jesus thought that this was the end. There was nothing in their frame of reference that would give them any more expectation that Jesus would rise from the dead than there is in ours. Dead is dead, and that is it. It's still easy to say that. It's hard to step out of our human skepticism, our need to prove, to know, to test, and understand. It's hard to move out in faith. But in order to move out of the sadness and despair of Good Friday, we have to move out in faith. There's no proof that Jesus was raised. There's no litmus test, no DNA. Nothing in science that can confirm for us that which Mary, the disciples, and later St. Paul have said, that can be confirmed in absolute fact. It requires faith and nothing else. In order to enter into the resurrected life in Christ, there is nothing required of us but faith. No amount of good deeds, no number of penitential acts will bring us to Easter on our own. Easter is not about what we are doing. It's about what God has done. God has acted once for all. Death no longer has dominion. Christ has been raised from the dead, and with him we are raised as well. Enter the Easter life in faith. Let go of all that stands in the way of your trusting God. God can handle it. Let go of anything that keeps you tied up in doubt. There is no good end to doubt. Doubt leads to despair and death. Faith leads to joy and life. It's freedom beyond your imagining. You might say to me, it's not that easy. I want to have that kind of faith. I want to believe. I want to know like Mary knew, like Paul knew. But I can't let go. It requires too much letting go. To that, I will quote the great Nike ad execs. Just do it. There is no magic formula. There is no prescription to follow. In order to have faith, you must decide to trust God. Now, there may be times that you try to go back and trust only yourself and all those human constructs that we put in place that make us think we're safe and secure, self-sufficient. And when you do that, and you will find out that you're in fact not safe or self-sufficient. When you do that and you find yourself on your proverbial face, up to your eyeballs in mud and sinking fast, turn around, return to God. God is always there, waiting to lift us back up to Him. It's not about you or what you can do, have done, will do, might do. It's about God and what God has done. Christ is risen. Have faith. Enter the resurrected life of Easter. Just do it. Amen.